And we're back with Butt Naked Hallmark. I'm here with my co-host, Patty. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Chingay. Good morning. Happy Sunday.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. It's morning and we're recording our second episode for the fifth season of the podcast. I'm incredibly proud of us for doing this, but how could we not? We are both Austin Files, and when we found out that Hallmark was doing an entire season based on Jane Austen's books, we knew we had to show up for you and for ourselves and for dear Jane.
I was super excited and super scared because this could have blown up in our faces. And based on the previews, I thought it would. Because if you just read out the casts of these movies, you would know that a lot of our favorites, quote unquote, also known as the people I freaking hate, are in this to win this. So, Chingay, I mean, I don't know if we want to spoil them of how we feel about this, but I think the tone of our voices, and if you're watching this on Instagram, the look on our faces, what? Can tell otherwise. So I don't know. I don't know what's in the water. Chingay, there's nothing better left to do but to kick us off. And so it is a truth universally acknowledged that when Allison Sweeney and Benjamin Ayer star in a movie, Patty must hate it.
And hate it, she did.
Love and Jane, starring Allison Sweeney and Benjamin Ayer, is about Lily, a hopeless romantic and literary enthusiast, is surprised when her wish to talk to her favorite author comes true and Jane Austen herself appears in her life. The moment I saw her face show up on the previews, I know we were fucked. What really pained me is this movie. So movies on our side of the world come out on a Sunday, and this was the movie that came out on my birthday. On my birthday, a Jane Austen movie on Hallmark came out on the same day that the Chiefs won the Super Bowl and we were watching Taylor Swift. This was the, you know when they say the cherry on top of the, like, the ice cream? This was like the shit that shat on the ice cream, okay? And I really tried to give it my all. I tried to appreciate it. I'm trying to think of the good side of it, right? Like, it wasn't Benjamin Ayers' sperm. It definitely wasn't that perm. What was that perm? It wasn't Allison Sweeney's like, oh, I'm so like a Jane file. No. Was it maybe like the, I don't know, was he like a Scottish bartender owner of the bar where they were doing their, maybe it was him. Maybe it was Jane Austen showing up in like as a hallucination. Maybe. I don't know. But all I know is that this was the lowest point of my Jane Austen love affair because I now have to associate Allison Sweeney and Benjamin Ayers with something I absolutely adore. And we're going to reveal later in this episode that we do change our minds, okay? Kind of. Not completely, but kind of. I can be persuaded. But this was just not doing it for me. Also, Benjamin Ayers was like this app developer guy or whatever, like website tech guy. Mm-hmm. Dude, no. No. And that he owns like a bookstore and is like tactile and like does things on this side just because, like, you know, he really wants the real thing. No. They try doing all these like authentic conversations, TM, and no, you are not allowed to have that TM. You are not allowed, Allison Sweeney. I appreciate that she's probably more liberal, and I mean, at least she's not MAGA, you know, that's always a good thing. But honestly, if she and Benjamin Ayers disappeared into GAC, I wouldn't blink. I would not bat an eye. I would not miss them. So how to do better for this one? Just cast someone else. Just give us something else. Because this, I wouldn't say ruined my birthday, but it did not value add to my birthday. It took a little bit away. And that makes me sad. Any other movie on my birthday would have been better. But this was my birthday gift. And I will resent them for it for the rest of my life. The end.
Okay. To be fair, whoa. There is. The story wasn't bad.
It wasn't.
See, anyone else in the, like, a bookshop owner, we like that. someone who loves Jane Austen. We like that. It's just that they cast the wrong people in here. And watching this movie was like a contest between who I can hate more. Allison Sweeney or Benjamin Ayres. And I would like to wipe the memory of this movie away from my brain. But unfortunately, it's there. And I'm looking through my notes and my feels, like the vibe I got from this movie was like, Allison Sweeney is very Nina Sakasal energy.
Which I know we're all going to be one day. And that's not a, it's not a thing, but like, she's just,
I think like she could be fairy godmother in a, like a Cinderella adaptation, but make it Hallmark. But she cannot be the leading lady in these types of movies. You know, she would be the Mrs. Bennet, but not Elizabeth Bennet. Yeah. And I think because they made Benjamin Ayres an app developer, I was just thinking in my recast, although this is kind of incestuous, but not. Robert Buckley, because he was a tech guy in Chesapeake Shores, could be a good bookshop buyer. And then with the braids, and I don't know the styling they were doing. I mean, I get it. She wanted to be like this classical literature person, but then the styling just did not work on her. Emily Ullerup for me. Oh. So Emily Ullerup / Robert Buckley. For this movie, it would have changed everything. I think what makes this movie worse is that we got Biltmore before. And I think, I don't know why, I was like, you know, the whole old-timiness of this movie. It's like, it's not going to work because we got one of the best old-timey Hallmark movies very recently. And I don't remember the last scene of this movie, but I did write that in the end, when she's walking off with her, I just wish that meant she died.
Oh my God! When we start wishing death upon characters, you know it's bad. The thing is, it was not a bad story indeed. And I love your recasting.
No.
That would have made it, because Emily Ullerup and her like literariness has always been like super cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, tech bro Robert Buckley is an A+ leading man. And so was everyone busy? Where are they on the call list? Who said no? That they had to go to the two of them combined?
Do you think this was like an after effect of the strike?
Maybe. I don't know. But
could
it
be.
Was not.
Could be.
It wasn't. Yeah. Clearly it's our worst of the season. A stain on every Jane Austen fan's oeuvre. And just something I wish to never have to think about again. Ever in my life.
And we don't ever have to think about it again until Fuck, Marry, Kill later. But let's move on to our second movie for this episode's reviews, Sense and Sensibility, starring Deborah Ayorinde, Bethany Antonia, and Patty's fave, Dan Janot. A period adaptation of Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility. After a change in circumstances, Marianne is torn between two men while Eleanor longs for a man beyond reach. This was a mahogany adaptation of Sense and Sensibility. And I was surprised that it was like a quote-unquote faithful adaptation of the actual Sense and Sensibility. This book is one of, it's ranked on my tier of Jane Austen's books. It's pretty low. Mm. And I don't know why. It's popular. Wasn't this her first book that like
hit it off?
Yeah. That was published, I think. I don't know. Anyway, I have very strong memories of the Ang Lee, right?
Yep, that's
it's Ang Lee with Emma Thompson, Kate Winslet, very well cast movie. So my memories of Sense and Sensibility have more to do with the movie than the actual book, because like I found the book a little boring.
Mm.
But then I also found the movie a little boring.
Oh, really?
So I wasn't going into this with a lot of hopefulness, especially with Dan Janot being cast as Edward Ferrars / the Hugh Grant role. I was surprised with this movie because they didn't put a Hallmark spin on anything except for the fact that maybe they sped it up so that it fit neatly into the 2-hour time slot. They made it Bridgerton, I guess.
Yeah.
Not only with the casting, but with the very fake vitamin string quartet covers of SWV's Week.
And?
Very jarring. And what's the other one?
Kiss
what's
from a Rose, one? Seal.
Yes, Seal.
Oh my lord.
Very odd. Like why those? I mean,
low kind of... I think those were like the ones that had probably like low, what do you call those? Like royalties.
They didn't have to pay much. I guess. Yeah. I mean, I was just like, okay. Like, yeah. we know what they're doing with this. Okay, fine. That was just kind of out of pocket for me, but funny. And it didn't take away from the actual movie itself, which I found was well cast, number one. It was, like, it was able to tell the story, like, Cliff's Notes version. Like, if I were in high school and I had to read Sense and Sensibility and didn't want to, I could watch this and still have something to write in my essay for school, you know? And if that's what their plan was for this movie, then good job, Hallmark. It wasn't bad at all. I always fall for Willoughby whenever I watch Sense and Sensibility. Yeah, I always like the rake. I always like the bad guy. And not gonna lie, Willoughby here was pretty good. He was, right? I think all of them were, pretty much.
Actually, except for, but anyway.
Give or take, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
another one person I felt I needed to mention was the other Ferrers, the brother of
Robert.
Edward Ferrers. Yeah, very Army Hammer there. And do with that what you will.
I'm curious.
That's all I have to say, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why did the Ferrers people keep saying step-son, step-mother? Is that how it is in the book?
See, I don't remember.
Because I don't remember that. I don't remember them being step-kids or whatever. But nevertheless, I mean, I know the mom, Mrs. Ferrers, was like African-American. But I was just confused why she kept saying step because Fanny is white. So they all step kids? I don't know. Anyway, for me, if you fall for Willoughby, I always fall for Brandon. And I do not find myself to be a Marianne at all. I mean, sure, maybe a bit more emotional than Eleanor. But who isn't? Eleanor feels nothing. I don't know. Maybe, do you find you're more an Eleanor than a Marianne? Well, I'm definitely not a Marianne. And yet... I always love the Captain Brandon. I don't know if you've seen the BBC series version of this one for Sense and Sensibility. It's like 3 episodes.
I have.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yeah. I like it. I like that. I like the Ang Lee movie. And yes, the book was a bit boring, but this really scared me because one, Mahogany, and two, Dan Jeannot, the bane of my existence. Maybe not as much as Alison Sweeney. Maybe not as much. Actually, definitely not as much. Mm-hmm. And yet, I'm like, what the fuck? This is going to be 2 for 2 now, where... It's going to be a shit thing. But they actually really did a great adaptation. I mean, which makes me also think, like, why? Why bother? If you're not going to change anything about it, apart from, like, you know, making it a bit more racially sound, diverse, then why bother with this? They didn't even, like, there's, like, a sense in, I mean, you know how there's an Aaron Cahill Sense and Sensibility, not Aaron Cahill, Aaron Krakow's Sense and Sensibility in Snowman, and they tried doing, like, there was something, and, like, I just felt like, is this necessary? Or do you just want to do period pieces now? Which, cool, if you want to waste some money, go ahead. But in a way, I'm glad they did it too because Brandon was good looking. Willoughby was good looking. And yes, I did not hate Dan Jeannot. So I think that's the part I want to focus on is that there is a part of me that is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly hateful and pessimistic and cynical and will not change my mind. But this one, I was actually surprised at how benign it was. It is nail polish movie. I was assembling my Harry Styles cardigan as I watched this film because I wasn't angry. Lucy Steele, the Steele sisters were hilarious in an annoying way as they should be. I liked it. It was quite great an adaptation, and I'm shocked that I'm saying that about a Dan Jeannot film because I did not hate him. He did not irk me, even if Edward Ferrers was a bit of a pansy, has always been, even the Hugh Grant version, and so Captain Brandon forever. Shocking. I am so vanilla about this movie, despite it being chocolate, but you know, whatever.
Honesty, I mean, honesty, sometimes that's all you can really ask for anyway.
I am not going to complain. Mm-hmm. And so with that, I just want to stress that the gulf between Love and Jane and Sense and Sensibility is a gigantic gulf. It's like a Mariana's Trench like level of depth between them. And I'm glad. I'm glad that Dan Jeanotte has found his niche in not my heart, but at least not in my hate. So congrats, Dan Jeanotte, for leaving the naughty list for the first time ever. And may you,
for now.
And it is not, do not feel comfortable. This is not a permanent spot. You are only as strong as your last entry. And so, who knows? Maybe I'll have to rewatch this some other time. All right. Mm-hmm. When we are back, two more from the Jane Austen Hallmark Cinematic Universe. Who knew those words would come together? When we're back on But Make It Hallmark. And we are back. Welcome back to But Make It Hallmark. You're still here with me, Patty. And I'm here with my co-host, Chingay. Chingay, we're halfway through. We're halfway through Love You, Ari. What a name. With Jane Austen. A mouth. And there was that part of me that was looking at the previews and saw Dan Jeanotte, Benjamin Ayres, and Alison Sweeney. And I was like, well, we're fucked. We're fucked. But that one screenshot, that one frame with Will Kemp changed everything. And with that, we introduce Paging Mr. Darcy, starring Will Kemp and the Mallory Jansen. She's back. When an overly serious scholar attends a Jane Austen annual conference, she strikes a deal with the man playing Mr. Darcy and finds her perspective and her heart changed.
I have loved these novels and these characters since I was 13.
And it's still the most romantic book I have ever read.
I'm your liaison.
The official Mr. Darcy at the conference.
A Jane Austen scholar.
People are staring.
I like attention.
Learn something new.
I need you to dance like everyone is watching.
About romance.
Everywhere I go as Mr. Darcy, I make women happy.
If you stumble upon a Darcy, grab him.
There is, again, that universal truth knowledge that when Will Kemp and pretty people show up in anything, they can do anything. And do that they did. Mallory Jansen and Will Kemp are two of the most underutilized stars in the Hallmark Cinematic Universe, considering how effective and wonderful they are. Will Kemp dances, sings, jigs. I don't know what else does he do. Looks great in period films and can be kind of meta about it, of like being a modern guy playing a meta a period film, and I'm honestly just blown away with how much of a leading guy this man is that I wish we really saw him more often. But maybe the part of the mystique that we don't see him often, I don't know. I don't think so. I think I just want to see him more often. The tropes here are really like the shy girl, you know, overcoming her insecurities and being in the shadow of, you know, a bubbly, vivacious sister. Or there's a side story that I really liked about grand gestures and making fools of yourself. And then there's the Mr. Darcy trope. And everybody, I think, and across so many of the movies here, when you think of Austen, you really think of Mr. Darcy. And I think it was but a perfect encapsulation that they got Will Kemp to be a Mr. Darcy, but not Mr. Darcy. Because it is the idea of Mr. Darcy that is attractive and not necessarily Mr. Darcy himself, given his grumpiness and judgmental character and whatnot. But I thought that Will Kemp brought that to life, considering he had that whole backstory about him being this shy nerd. And when he puts on the costume, it's when he feels most himself and showing his insecurities about his startup and all that. And I'm focusing on him for the beginning because obviously his name is in the title, but actually it was, I thought this would be like a Pride and Prejudice kind of like adaptation, but it felt more like a standard, and I say this in the most complimentary way, a more standard Hallmark movie wherein you get, you know, small town girl trying to make it in the big city, and here she's trying to become a professor and will do what it takes to, you know, get that Princeton, it's Princeton, right? I think it was Princeton. Yeah, that Princeton tenure. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. I really liked how Mallory Jensen brought this, like, I know my place. I know what I don't like. I am a single girl, but I also fight for myself. That first scene with her on the plane with the seatmate was kind of like being condescending towards Jane Austen and all that. I like how they were able to weave in some of that insight, I guess. And it's not a trope at all, but it is this, like, it is this view that anything catered to women is less than. And this is a, I'm getting serious here because this is a hill I'm going to fucking die on. And I tried to read as many female authors and listen to female artists and watch female directed stuff because who else will support women but women? And I think that's why I kind of am super proud of this podcast, because we're not, I won't say elevating because it's not something that needs to be elevated, but we're putting, I like to think, legitimacy to the fact that people who are smart and have other interests and know reality and are pragmatic can also appreciate romance. And can also appreciate this. And so that was what Paging Mr. Darcy was about for me. It's that it's adding that legitimacy that and that validation that you can be a freaking scholar. And that's the lady she was looking up to, right? The auntie of Will Kemp, who loves attending these conferences and is also a serious scholar. You can be both. We contain multitudes. I love this movie. The dancing, the secret doorways, the gardens they were dancing in, and just letting each other in and being incredibly adult and upfront about their feelings when Will Kemp by that elevator said, "You hurt my feelings, but that's okay." I love this shit. This is adult relationships, DM, not Love and Jane. Okay? Not that. I liked it. This is Hallmark doing Hallmark with a twist of Jane Austen, and this is what Love and Jane thought they were doing. They did not. Yeah.
I think Paging Mr. Darcy also pays homage to an important part of the Jane Austen modern world where there's a convention. And I think, I mean, like with Austen Land, for example, that's everyone's dream, right? Yeah. To go to one of those conventions and dress up and, you know, cosplay, all of that. It's fun to have brought that part of the fandom into the movie because I think it's aspirational for a lot of us, I think. And I like how he acknowledges that he feels it's like at first you think he's pandering, right? I mean, even casting Will Kemp can like in a meta way feels like he's pandering to the audience. But like you said, it isn't just pandering. It's more than that. There's more to it than that. And I like how they show how, you know, beneath the clothes, you know, that meant something to him as well. You know, it was part of him figuring out his identity and doing a kindness, I think, to people and to his aunt.
Yeah.
I like that he worked at an Etsy knockoff in this, like bringing apps really into this world. What's up with that?
Three movies do it. The three movies all call out apps. I love it. But he did it better. Sorry. He's the better founder. Sorry.
Okay. I think so too. I didn't expect the sister to be the center of the conflict here. But, I mean, it's a very Lydia Bennett thing as well. Right? So I mean, there are parallelisms without this being another Pride and Prejudice redo. Right? And I mean, we cannot fault this movie because it has gorgeous people. It has accents.
Yeah!
What more could you want? Mallory Jensen in her Annie Hall outfit with a button down.
Yes.
And that was just chef's kiss. I loved it. Of course, we have dancing. We can't not have dancing in a Will Kemp movie. Yeah. And, you know, let's all be unapologetic about how much we appreciate these things. So I love this movie because, I mean, it was Hallmark in a way that it was predictable, but also it turns things into something a little more surprising, and then it's well cast. So it ticks all the boxes that a Hallmark movie needs to be and adds more to that. I love that the aunt is there and we get a little side story with her as well. It was a very smart movie, but it was also very Hallmark.
Yes.
And yeah, the two things can coexist.
Yes.
Love it.
Just that last thing of that there's still that part of me that when I say I like Hallmark movies to strangers, or it's like it's a thing that comes up. And there's a part of me that feels shame a little bit. I'm like, ooh, it's an uncool thing to like. But no, it's not. And if you think it's uncool, boo. But no, I just think that this was a nice like little rah-rah for romance in a sense, because like in Filipino, walang basagan ng trip. And this is truly like to each his own.
I mean,
right?
Who doesn't want to fall in love, right?
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
Curmudgeons. Like Allison Sweeney and Benjamin Ayers, who made me so angry on my birthday. I'm still angry. I'm still angry that was on my birthday. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway.
So if that was the movie that showed up on your birthday, the movie that showed up on the anniversary of my high school prom was American in Austin. I still remember the date of my high school prom, but it's there.
Who did you bring as a date?
A family friend.
Interesting.
As one does.
As one does.
Mm-hmm. All right. And American Austin stars Eliza Bennett and Nicholas Bishop. Harriet, who thinks that no real man compares to Mr. Darcy, is transported into Pride and Prejudice and gets an unexpected chance to find out.
It's a shooting star. Quick, make a wish.
I wish for Mr. Darcy.
What is happening? She's arrived!
Fall captive to a great story.
I'm stuck in Pride and Prejudice.
Okay, I'm officially freaking out.
And who is that?
Mr. Darcy.
Oh, boy.
When we saw the previews for Love You, Harry with Jane Austen, this was the movie I was most unfussed about. I was angry at Love and Jane. I was worried about Sense and Sensibility. I knew I would like Paging Mr. Darcy. And then I didn't care about An American in Austin. Because, like, how many Pride and Prejudice rip-offs have we had, like,
many
in the Hallmark universe and outside of it? There have been more than enough. So it felt like, okay, it's another one of those. But also, it was it felt like a play on Lost in Austin, which came out, like, what, 20 years ago? I had the DVD, I remember. And this was like, this is about a woman who gets lost inside the world of Pride and Prejudice. She kind of switches, right? Eliza Bennett goes into the real world and then she goes into the Pride and Prejudice world. So this kind of felt like that. Even the introduction felt like a callback to Lost in Austin. So I was like, okay, it's kind of lazy to do that sometimes because, you know, it's been done and then they're just doing it again. But this movie really took me by surprise because not only, I mean, okay, so they took Lost in Austin walked so that An American in Austin could run, and run it did. First of all, our Harriet, the actress's name is Eliza Bennett. Is this real?
She's
is this
perfect.
For real? And she's actually British playing an American, which is like the reverse of what we're used to. She does a great American accent. I didn't even know she was British. Okay. When this movie opened up, she got a proposal from her boyfriend. And I was thinking, oh, the boyfriend's not bad. He wasn't like villainized and he wasn't made into, you know, the typical Hallmark caricature of like the boyfriend who proposes and you say no to because you want Mr. Darcy. I felt a little bad for him because, I mean, he wasn't bad. And then we get into the world of Pride and Prejudice, and it was completely swept away. I think the casting of the Bennett family was perfect.
Amazing.
Everyone seemed to fit their roles. I don't know if these people are British or not.
They look British.
They
don't, okay, I think.
Because they're like, are they Canadian? Are they? I don't know, but they did it well. Even the setting. I'm sure there are inaccuracies when it comes to costume and set design and whatever. But I don't care. Like, I was completely swept away by this world, and I like how they contrasted that with remarks on pop culture, because she is a modern woman set into an old world. So there are remarks on British teeth. There are remarks on anti-hero and the voice of a generation, Taylor Swift. Yeah, and it's just perfect that this movie came out like a week before Patty, me, and Macy went to Sydney, right? For the Aerostore. So it was just very off the moment, but also not off the moment. And I like how they brought that. They brought both together. And I did want to remark on one point where I feel like it was a very clear callback to the 2005 Pride and Prejudice. It wasn't exact, but I felt like they captured it completely, where Harriet gets into the carriage. So obviously Mr. Darcy falls for Harriet and she's like ruining the whole trajectory of Pride and Prejudice. He brings her to the carriage and she walks up and he doesn't do the hand flex the way they did in 2005. But there was just like a very, they paused for a beat in that scene. And I just felt it in my heart, like, and the way they did Mr. Darcy here, usually they make it so that you fall in love with Mr. Darcy, right? But here, no. They make fun of him quite a bit. And I like how they did that because it just sets everything in context. And you really do think back to how decent and good her actual boyfriend was. And how that's the world she's meant to live in. And you just want things to be okay among the family. I love how she like goes into a panic and she actually admits that, okay, I'm not of this world. And it just felt like everything slotted into place very, very perfectly. The music and the scoring, because we're dealing with royalty-free ancient music here, the music was the same as the other movies. And that was also a nice touch that... true fans of Pride and Prejudice will probably notice too. Everything, and you know how these like time travel movies always end, like you fall asleep and then you wake up and you're in another world. So you kind of know how this is gonna fare, but that doesn't take away from you wanting to see how things unfold. So I think American and Austin was so delightful. It was so charming. We did get a cameo by Fergie herself,
yes,
which was kind of wild.
Wild.
Yeah. So Patty, what are your thoughts on An American in Austin?
It now is all making sense of why I like this movie so much. It is directed by none other than Claire Neder-Pruem. Also known.
No! Yes!
Our girl Claire
She's
is back!
Back!
I just had to look it up because it was perfect. In my head, I thought this would be the last movie of the series, and we were in Sydney together, and I was hoping that this was the movie that would come out on that Sunday when we were about to leave.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, which is also good for many other reasons, but it's such a perfect encapsulation of what Love You, Ari with Jane Austen was trying to do. If you go all the way to, you know, the very Hallmark style, which is, you know, paging Mr. Darcy, that's cool. But going, period, was such a risk. And they did that too with Zenith and Sensibility, and that's why it's good they just didn't bother to do anything about that, right? But this is like the middle ground of like, I'm going to keep it Hallmark, but I'm going to make it period, but I'm also going to make it something else completely. This felt like a round and round in a way, because she also had like the waking up every day thinking I'm still in this universe trope. And I liked it because it was fresh, it was modern. She was so hyper aware of her surroundings that she was like, she really is this fish out of water trope. And Eliza Bennett was so good in it. I like how, and I'm going to be jumping here back and forth, but in the end, when she goes back into the, you know, modern world, wakes up in her Uber, where the taxi guy is just so rude to be like, get out of the car. Like, you know, no one is, it's no longer Regency. The contrast was so stark, or how she didn't know how she was going to get back to Ethan's house. And so she's like, okay, I'm going to take one of these like mini scooters. And she had to call out that it was, you know, worse than horses, or horses were still worse or whatever. But she had to get another app of like, you know, she had to download an app. Like, I love those little Hallmark, I'm in the 21st century now, big girl shoes. And it really was just like really, really lovely. This leading lady did so well to poke fun at Mr. Darcy without being cruel. And the writing and the directing of Mr. Darcy was like, he's just a guy who is also fumbling his way through all of this, of like calling out her white teeth and, you know, how bewitching she is, And giving her the Evelina book, I thought that was really sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you could see how he was falling for her and he wasn't sure what was happening and everything was like out of control and she was also like spinning out and it was delightful. The Bennett family was amazing. Usually, I know that, you know, when you read the book, you do get to see insights into Mrs. Bennett and how she's just looking out for her family. But I like that scene where Harriet really goes to the garden and talks to Mrs. Bennett and how it's just kind of called out, like, I'm not this weirdo. I'm just really worried about my girls. And she should be. It is a dowry system back in the day. Women had no rights. If they didn't marry, they're fucked. And so it was just very nice to get that side of the story because Mrs. Bennett is always maligned and kind of looked down upon in just general modern day whatever. But her, you see her drivers, she means well. Her execution is poor, clearly, and she has a lot of her faults, but she is still human. And I like that she's got 5 kids, girl. I can't even imagine. I would just be nutso if I even had 1. And so it was so good. It was so good. The Bingley and, so number one, also side story, I rewatched Pride and Prejudice 2005 on the plane to Sydney because why not? All these new movies, nah, go back to old favorites. So I watched the 2005 one and I'm like, why does Bingley's sister look so familiar? It's because, girl, it's because she's Beth from Yellowstone. It all goes back to Yellowstone. Sneak that. But anyway, Bingley's sister in this one wasn't as annoying because they didn't really give her much like airtime. And of course, we don't get the Georgiana and all that. But I thought I really thought that the Bingley character and the Jane character were so cute. And I'm glad that Jane got her modern day twist of going there and showing up and being like, I like you. And then get sent back. Like, it's so real. it was so funny. And I mean, there's Wickham. And I guess in a Willoughby sense, you like a Wickham. And it was cute.
Yeah, I do.
It was cute that he ended up with Lizzie at the altar. Because Lizzie isn't perfect either. And how Harriet fucked up with the timeline and Collins and, you know, Charlotte being like, yes, I like her. And Mary, Mary getting her like, okay, if it's not Jane, and it's not Lizzie, I guess it's Mary. And how she almost married Mr. Collins. And she's so pretty. This Mary was gorgeous.
Yeah.
She has like a Margaret Qualley vibe to her. But anyway,
I
loved it. I literally watched it like 20 minutes before we recorded this. And so it's all very fresh in my brain.
Mm.
But I would rewatch it. And I'm just excited. I like these kinds of things.
Definitely a rewatch. And it feels like, you know, it's bigger than Hallmark. Yes! This movie.
Yeah. The same way Round and Round was, right? Like these are, Hallmark is now metamorphosizing, you know, I guess. Like, now, like, we have the Hallmark tropes, and I couldn't, it's a Jane Austen movie. Of course, like, there are tropes there, but it's not a Hallmark trope anymore. And, I'm both excited for it and wondering, like, where is this new phase of Hallmark going to take us? I know this is going to be, like, the 5%. 95% are still going to be bread and butter. But I'm glad it was Claire Neder-Pruem that brought us into this new century, because what a movie. I'm blown away. Anyway, all right. Clearly, if there was any movie to watch, it would be American in Austen and Paging Mr. Darcy, because why not?
Paging Mr. Darcy.
But American in Austen. Mm-hmm. And so, happy Sunday, everyone. I'm kidding. We're not done yet. When we're back, of course, how could we forget? Just because we are in the Jane Austen universe, it doesn't mean there isn't going to be our favorite segment of this episode. And for this one, it is, how do I put it in Jane Austen terms? Engage to be married, married kill? Because there ain't no fucking happening in that universe. When we're back on But Make It Home.
And we're back with Fuck, Marry, Kill, Jane Austen edition. I guess it's cavorting, marrying,
marrying, killing.
Killing, I think.
Yeah.
I think killing is obvious. I mean, it's got to be Alison Sweeney and Benjamin Ayres, right?
Movie. Do we even need to add? That was easy.
Yeah.
Easy peasy. I really do want to stop killing them, which means they either need to get the fuck out of the cinematic universe or they improve vastly. So pick one, guys. Pick one. I think we've given you enough chances.
All right, who are we cavorting with, Patty?
This was a bit of a toughie, but I'm going to be cavorting with the two Darcys. I'm doing a threesome with the actual Mr. Darcy. Because I thought that, like, despite everything, I don't know if he'll be a good lover, but he's still Mr. Darcy. And the modern-day Mr. Darcy Will Kemp. And so it's a threesome. Mm-hmm. It's a Darcy sandwich with Patty mm-hmm. in the middle for my cavorts.
Add me to the sandwich because I'll be cavorting with Mr. Darcy Will Kemp for this week. How could you not? I mean...
How can we not?
Yeah. Clearly.
He danced and he said dancing. Like, what more?
Exactly. All right.
Sorry. Hang on. Call it out. That, no, not at all. I just realized we're 44 seconds in. This is going to be like the quickest segment. But to stretch it a little bit, I just want to call out that Will Kemp looks like he's putting on a little weight. And it's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was so skinny during...
Yeah.
You realize now in hindsight, you're like, was this guy on like something?
The pandemic.
But yeah, he looked good. He looked healthier. He looked happier. What I care about Will Kemp's mental well-being, my parasocial relationship with him. No, but also, if I were Leslie,
mm-hmm.
by curious, whatever, I would definitely cavort with Mallory Jensen. Mm, she is so pretty.
Yes.
Or maybe just like I'll just like stare at her and be like, you're so pretty. Like, she's so pretty.
Yeah.
That I'm put her as an honorary cavort.
Yeah.
Because just, why not? I don't know. I'm all about experimentation these days. Who knows?
Oh God, Patty, does this mean you're marrying Dan Janot?
No fucking way. This is not a 180. Are you? No way. No.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Please do. Thank you for clarifying. Okay. Who are you marrying? God, okay. That was like a wake up call.
You did say that. It's a month of exploration and experimentation. I just really am enamored by Mallory Jensen and Eliza Bennett, so I would marry them both.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
you're getting your lesbian triad. Chingay! Wow! Mm-hmm. What has Sydney done to us? I, on the other hand, actually am going quite vanilla on this, and I'm marrying Ethan.
Mm, good guy.
He is so good guy, mm-hmm. and a little bit of a dork. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Did enough of a grand gesture, but not quite. Totally took the rejection of the maybe well. Because technically, the span of the entire movie was just one night mm-hmm. in the real world. And to process that level of rejection, come back to his house, discover his supposedly non-fiancé at his door confessing her feelings, there should be some distrust. Or at least there could be some distrust. And yet he was just like, no, I love you. Let's go. Adult conversations, DM. Adult relationships, DM. I liked it despite the, like, she said that she was way past 30 and they were like, oh my God, an old maid. And I liked it. I thought it was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ethan, will you marry me? Maybe. And that was such a cute call out. I can't believe I'm going for the boyfriend in the real world.
No. Who are you?
Who are we?
I can't believe I chose the two girls for the marriage.
Which is really funny. It's like, not even Wickham. Not even Willoughby.
No. Yeah.
Interesting. But in a way, it's kind of like, it's so true to Austin that it's the women that are the fascinating characters in these movies.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am again on my fucking soapbox because I just, one day... Revenge will be ours, and there will be legitimacy for all of this. Not that it's required or needed, but it will be nice to get our comeuppance. And with that, we want to thank everyone for sticking by us for this slightly wild and weird episode where we went a little bit off the rails. But if you aren't following us on our socials, we are at Make It Hallmark on Twitter and at But Make It Hallmark on Instagram. We'd love to hear from you. What did you guys think of Love You, Are You and Jane Austen? Should they do more? Are we going to do the Bronte sisters next? That's going to be depressing. But interesting. Henry James. Who knows? Shingai, thank you so much for holding us together and keeping us accountable on this Jane Austen journey. And we'll see you guys next time, hopefully with a lot of more romance. And I don't know what March has in store for us. I don't actually know what the movies that are coming out in March.
We have some of our faves coming back. Amy Teagarden and I can't remember. Erin Cahill.
I saw some Blind Dog ones.
Oh, yeah. Like and April from Grey's Anatomy's back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's the Blind Dog. There's the Erin Cahill one that's somehow in Love You Are with Jane Austen. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. We have Amy Teagarden. So we just need one more. And you know what? I guess we're seeing you guys in March. What is this consistency? What is this? Chingai, who are we?
It's a different world.
2024, come at us. We are on a Sydney Eras Tour high. And, 1 week later, we're still, I think, flot-whiting our way. So, yeah. See you guys later. Thanks, Jingai.
Bye.
Bye.